Sounds.
And off we go.
A new football season has begun and the fans are back.
The noise is absolutely extraordinary. That was spine tingling.
Hear season defining moments with BBC Radio 5 live commentary.
Oh, and what a goal! It's a day that he will never forget.
And discover news, insight and analysis in the Football Daily Podcast.
So 51 yesterday.
Thank you.
I must have been booing you for about 30 years now. I mean, less so since we've worked together.
Live commentary and the Football Daily Podcast. Listen on the BBC Sounds app.
And now, a warm welcome to our new host, Sue Perkins, as she takes the chair for the return of Radio 4's longest-running panel show.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, Sue Perkins here. And as the minute waltz fades away, what a joy to welcome you to Just a Minute. And of course, we're welcoming also our remote audience, who join us in the radio theatre from their homes all over the UK, and perhaps, who knows, even from around the world. Let me introduce you to the four talented, brilliant people who are going to be playing Just a Minute this week. They are Paul Merton, Sheila Hancock, Delisa Chaponda, and Jan Ravens. Go crazy for all four of them! I'm going to be asking them all to speak on a subject that I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. So let's see how that all goes. Now, we're going to start with the evergreen Paul Merton. And the subject on the card is Doctor Doctor. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition, or deviation on Doctor Doctor? Your time starts now.
There used to be a whole series of jokes that started off with Doctor, Doctor, I think I'm a pair of curtains. Well, pull yourself together. That was one of the remarks that you would often hear. Or Doctor, Doctor, I think I'm a Labrador. Climb up on the couch.
Ah, Delisa.
Repetition of I think I'm...
Yes.
Yes. Oh,
a
absolutely.
Correct challenge. Well done. So that means you get the point, Delisa, for a correct challenge. You've also got 45 seconds on the subject of Doctor Doctor starting now.
My mother is a doctor and my brother's a doctor, so I live in a house with Doctor Doctor. And I always feel like a failure because they wanted a third doctor and they got a comedian. If I could go back in time, stop time, I would go back and be a doctor.
Jan, sorry. Sorry, everybody. There was a repetition of time.
There was.
Good point.
And it was very close together, so it was a correct challenge, Jan. One should never, ever, ever feel sorry for applying a format to a show. Never. Which means you get the subject. You've got 30 fulsome seconds still remaining. Tell us about Doctor Doctor starting now.
Doctor Doctor would be a very reassuring name for a doctor. I think you would be under no illusion that he was able to do what he was setting out to put forward. And I would be very pleased to go and see him. It must be very annoying to be a doctor, doctor, because when you're at a party or a social event, everybody would come up to you and say, "Doctor, doctor, I've got this horrible rash. What do you think?"
Oh, very close to the whistle going.
It was very close to the whistle going.
I was going to say, I don't think that everybody would come up to you at a party and say, "I've got a terrible rash." I just don't think everybody, unless, of course, it was a particular share your rash party.
It might have been an eczema anonymous party.
It was an impetigo festival, boss.
Oh, well, that's fair enough.
Yes. In which case, I love that challenge, Paul. I'll give you the point. But I'm going to let the subject stay with Jan. You've got probably a quarter of a second on Doctor Doctor. Start now.
Doctor Doctor is the...
Go on, Paul, go on.
Well, it was hesitation, but I don't want to draw attention to it.
No, do you know what? Come hell or high water. You have, Jan, an incorrect challenge from Paul. You have 1/16th of a second.
Yeah.
I know. It's gone to my head, the power. Doctor Doctor starting now.
Doctor Doctor.
Yes. Yes. Well done, Jan was speaking. And we're with you next, Sheila. The subject is, I think you'll be great on this, Bleak House. You've got 60 seconds on Bleak House, starting now.
Well, I'll tell you something. My house has been pretty bleak in the last few months without any visitors or babies to hug. However, I think mostly people would think of Dickens' book, Bleak House, which I think, now I come to that.
Yes, Paul.
It was two thinks.
Yes, there was a double think.
Double think.
And that's a correct challenge, which means you get the subject. 45 seconds on the clock, starting now.
This is sheer heresy, I know, but I've never really got on well with Charles Dickens. Bleak House, what an awfully long story that is. I know his episodes were serialised in current magazines of the day, but they seem to go on forever. Bleak House, more like a pain in the I can't say. But I suppose when I think about Bleak House, there have been so many TV adaptations. Who can forget the one starring Giles Brandreth as the house? And it was extraordinarily bleak.
Oh, I wish to see that. Sheila, you buzz.
Deviation. I mean, that is unthinkable.
Well, he did say, who can forget? It turns out we might have forgotten.
Yeah, everyone's forgotten.
I'll give you a point because under the rules of Just a Minute, it is a correct challenge. But I was enjoying the flight of fancy that Paul was embarking on, so I'm going to make him stick with the subject. You've got 13 seconds, Paul, and your time starts now.
Bleak house. The very words conjure up a house that is bleak. There's only one way of thinking of...
Sheila's on it again.
That surely is hesitation and repetition.
Well, there was a little bit of hesitation for sure.
There was.
Yeah.
So, you've got 6 seconds. It's back with you now. Bleak house, starting now.
I was once on holiday in a place called Broadstairs, and I looked up and there was this beastly building.
Well done. The Broadstairs Tourist Board are furious. I can sense their ire already. You were speaking as the whistle went. Well done, Sheila. You get the point. Now, Deliso, welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
Hooray. Well, let's see what we have in store for you. Ah, this is a very jolly one. Your subject is Happy Mondays. Let's hear what you've got to say about Happy Mondays, and your time starts now.
Mondays are not happy. They are bleak, miserable.
Oh, Jan.
Well, that's deviation, surely, because it's supposed to be about Happy Mondays. So if he's saying that Mondays aren't happy, then surely that's deviation from the subject.
Just because it's a subject doesn't mean it's true. It's simply a topic on which one can leap into immeasurable flights of fantasy. I would say this, it is Deliso's first time playing the game, and you buzzed in after he'd spoken for 3 seconds. So, I'm going to give...
I'll be giving him so much more back, Sue, honestly. I really will. He'll be recompensed.
Well, of course, you will be recompensed, because I'm going to say it's an incorrect challenge. You can speak however you wish about Happy Mondays. It's absolutely your topic. You've got 56 seconds left. It stays with you. Your time starts now.
On second thought, Mondays are delightful. They are the most wonderful way to begin one's week. They fill you with vim and zest as you bounce along to work and engage in your daily funereal duties of doing the very deadening...
Well, he clearly didn't believe that Mondays were happy. And he did his very best to convince us, but in the end, he sort of hesitated.
He did.
His heart wasn't in it.
I mean, you're right. It was a very strange interpretation of Happy Mondays. It was more Bleak House than Happy Mondays, but we enjoyed it. And for a debut, sensational, may I say. Paul, you gave a correct challenge there for hesitation. The subject now goes to you with 36 seconds on the clock, beginning now.
The Happy Mondays, of course, were a very popular band that came out of the Madchester scene in Manchester in the 1990s. Twistin' My Melon Man was a particular song of theirs. Well, it may not have been a musical opus that they actually wrote, but it was in the lyrics somewhere along the line. Sean Ryder was the name of the individual that was the lead singer, and there was a guy called Bez who would jump up on stage and shake maracas tunelessly, although that particular instrument is more percussive, so you don't expect it to carry a tune, and he would be there with the rest of the group. Happy Mondays have survived through...
A masterclass, as we've come to expect. You were talking as the whistle was blown, which means you get the point, Paul. Jan, the next one is with you. How to throw a surprise party. OK, do you know anything about how to throw a surprise party? We'll find out. You've got 60 seconds, which starts now.
I am the very best person to ask about throwing a surprise party because I threw a surprise party for my mum when she was 60. And she said the very thing she had always wanted was a bagpiper at her party. And so we organised a man from Speak to come and play at this this festive event that we had arranged, and he said that he would play for 30 minutes. And I said, oh, really? Because we are playing, paying 50...
Oh, Sheila, isn't
it? No, it's hesitation.
A correct challenge. So, Sheila, you have the topic, how to throw a surprise party, with 25 seconds remaining, starting now.
I was the last person to call... Oh!
Paul was on that.
Well, she proved true to her word. She's the last person to throw a surprise party, or indeed say the sentence.
Yes. There was something of a word jam happening in the mouth there.
Yes.
That's all right. Paul's got the subject with 23 seconds on the clock, starting now.
The best way to throw a surprise party is to not tell the person that it's their party, or indeed invite them, because then you get in the way. The bagpiper that Jan mentioned earlier was me in disguise, and her mother was extremely pleased with the renditions of all the Highland tunes that I was able to produce from that sometimes melancholic instrument. How to throw a surprise party? First of all, you must make sure that your victim...
The master.
Paul again speaking as the whistle went. Which
and I like the use of the word the victim.
Yes.
Surprise.
Let's do some scores, shall we? Why not? In last place currently, we have our brand newcomer to the show, Deliso, but it's very neck and neck, so do not be afeard. It's all to play for. In third place, just in front of him is Jan. In second, we've got Sheila. And heading the way by some margin at the moment, we've got Paul. But we're going into the second round. We're back with you again, Paul. I sense you might know quite a lot and lots of avenues for you to mine. Rasputin. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on Rasputin, starting now?
Boney M had a record called Rasputin. The lyrics went, rah, ditto Rasputin, lover of the Russian queen. The people in Russia were very upset with their leader at the time. They thought he was a bit of a squanderer, hence the song, I was born under a squandering czar. And it's many people now that say to themselves, I wonder about Rasputin. He correctly was born in the 19th century and managed to cross into the 20th without too much damage to his personal reputation. But when they tried to kill him, it took several attempts. There was a drowning, a poisoning, I think he was hit over the head with a bag of sugar. All kinds of ways to get rid of Rasputin were not particularly successful. He was a man with a long beard, portrayed in a film in the 1960s by Christopher Lee. I don't remember the name of the particular movie, but I know that actor essayed a fantastic role as Rasputin. We can all picture him now, can't we? Standing there in his long robes, beautifully big, bushy beard.
That's how you do it. Paul got the subject. He kept the subject and spoke for the full 60 seconds, which means he gets an extra point. And Sheila, got a great subject for you now, and one I think you're going to smash. This one is rules. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on rules, starting now?
Rules seem to be in the vogue at the moment, but I don't know what they all are. They seem to change daily. Stay in, go out, eat, spend money, put a mask on, don't breathe. You'll be all right if you obey the rules. But I actually think the most important thing in life is breaking rules, because that's how dictators rule. They make up all these regulations that you have to do. Always,
you were going brilliantly there.
I was
enjoying the government messaging, being one of them being breathe or don't breathe. I was enjoying it. It's a correct challenge. Well, I actually did enunciate your challenge.
Oh, yes, it was hesitation.
Yes, it was hesitation.
Yep, definitely.
So you get a point for a correct challenge. 29 seconds on the clock on rules, starting now.
There's a rather posh restaurant in central London called Rules, and it goes back many decades. Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton are just two of the famous comedians who have dined there. I myself, in a much lesser category, have been there on several occasions. Rules are there to be obeyed, but they're also, as Sheila says, must be broken on occasions. If you don't...
A challenge from Jan.
Was there a repetition of occasions?
No.
No, I don't think so. Paul's very vociferous.
Yes.
I think it was occasion and occasions.
Ah, well.
Paul's very good at plurals and singulars.
Got me where I am today.
Absolutely. So I'm going to keep that with Paul with just 7 seconds remaining. Rules starting now.
You sometimes see signs in the middle of nowhere that say, please do not throw stones at this sign, which kind of...
Oh, Deliso, you just got in there.
Repetition of sign.
Sign and signs, he's done it again.
Oh, he's done it again.
He's done it again. He's known for it.
I don't think there is a sign that says don't throw stones at this sign. I think you've made that up.
Oh, you want to get out of here. There's loads of them around.
Where have you seen
them? Chesterfield.
It's deviation.
Chesterfield and Chesterfields.
He's made it up. It's deviation.
I'm not standing for any of it. I'm saying that Paul was speaking... he's got 1/16th of a second on the subject of rules, starting now.
Heliotrope.
Yay! Can I just say I've made a massive rod for my own back subdividing seconds in this way?
Yes.
You have, yes.
One show only, I feel. Deliso.
Yes.
A treat for you, I think, in these current climes. Your subject on the card is Zoom etiquette. Okay, Zoom etiquette. And your time starts now.
Zoom etiquette is very important on those unfortunate moments when you are trapped on Zoom. Simple etiquette is things like do not spit at the screen, do not scratch parts of your body.
Oh, Sheila.
To do not.
Yes. In close proximity.
I'm being mean, I'm sorry.
The audience have to.
It's accurate. It's accurate. I accept it.
Okay, Sheila, your challenge was correct. It was indeed repetition, sadly. You've got 46 seconds remaining on Zoom etiquette starting now.
Well, I think the most important thing is to actually not always be in pyjamas, which I am, as it happens. Also, not to drink tea and drinks of all sorts, because it's kind of offensive.
Oh,
yes.
No. I withdraw it because it was the plural singular.
Drink and drinks.
Yes. Yeah. Now I understand.
They're minxes. They're toying with your mind.
Toying with my brain.
You've got to rise above it.
Yes.
I know you will. I know you will. All right. It stays with you, Sheila. You've got 34 seconds on Zoom etiquette starting now.
The other thing is not to use the chat facility, which is very distracting when people are doing things behind your back instead of looking at you on the camera.
Oh, jam.
Hesitation.
I wondered where that consonant was going.
It was like fiddling.
Yes.
Fiddling. Could have been almost anything, but it began with S.
Yes, that was the worry. That was the worry. Jam, your challenge, my lovely.
Was hesitation.
Yes. So, Jam, that was a correct challenge. Indeed, there was a little bit of hesitation on the F consonant, and you've got 23 seconds on Zoom etiquette starting now.
I think the most important part of Zoom etiquette is to be presentable and to make an interesting picture for your fellow Zoomers to look at. For example, I think you should be well-dressed, perhaps wear an amusing hat so that they can have a little laugh, and present your bookcases in a very interesting way so that there are lots of different titles. Iris Murdoch.
You're speaking, Jan, as the whistle went, which means you get that point. And you are with us for the next subject.
Oh my so God, you've exhausting.
I know. Well,
like
take a
limp
moment.
Rag. What is it?
It is. Do the hustle. What can you tell us on the subject? Do the hustle. In 60 seconds, starting now.
In the 70s, there was a single called Do the Hustle, and it would not have done well on this programme because the lyrics were Do It and Do the Hustle. And it was very repetitive. The music was over and again. It would go...
Paul!
Losing the will to live, I think.
Yes, I think.
But it was hesitation, I'm afraid.
It was hesitation. There was a slow and gradual wind down.
Yes, it was like going down the plug hole, wasn't it? It was that sort of thing.
It's difficult not to repeat.
Yes, especially, I mean, it's a hard topic, this, do the hustle.
Yes.
You've got 38 seconds on it, Paul.
No, I won't need those.
No. Take as many as you want.
Thank you.
Starting now.
Do the Hustle by Van McCoy was a very popular hit in the 1970s. I'm now going to sing the song, Do the Hustle.
I think she was making interventions at this point.
I'm sorry. I was so shocked at the thought of you. I didn't mean to press it. My hand jumped.
Because we're going to be singing.
We're going to sing.
Well, some people say you've done a service to the nation.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
I'm very much inclined to let it stay with Paul because I think everybody wants to hear the dulcet tones.
I'm actually moving my finger from the button.
You'll change your mind in a moment.
No. I'm leaning in very heavily to this next moment. 33 seconds, it's with you. Do the hustle, Paul.
I was never much one for attending discotheques, as they used to be called in my youth. In fact, I know a boy who thought the word was pronounced discothecue, which has always stuck in my memory.
Discotheque and discothecue are actually the same word.
Yes, pronounced differently.
I'd say because it's pronounced differently, I'm going to let it stay with Paul, but I think it's a very good challenge and I'm going to give you the point for it nonetheless.
Well,
because,
thank
of
you
course,
very
it
much,
is the same. So I have to give Jan a point there for a correct
very
challenge.
Clever.
But I think it was sneaky of Paul. I'm going to award that sneak, but I'm on the lookout now should it happen again. 22 seconds, Paul, it's with you.
Discotheques were never really somewhere that I particularly enjoyed visiting. It was not.
Sheila.
Repetition of discotheque.
I think
discotheques and discotheques.
I think the first one was a singular. I think never went to a discotheque.
Singular plural.
Never went to discotheque.
He's done it again. Yes, well, go on.
Is this not a deviation? We were talking about the hustle.
We were.
Now we are talking about discotheques.
Well, I suppose Do the Hustle would be placed in a discotheque.
It's the home of the hustle. Okay.
But you know what? I like the interjection anyway. And bearing in mind this is your first show, and bearing in mind I think we've heard every available pronunciation of the word discotheque possibly can from you, I'm going to give you the subject, and I'd very much like to hear, Delisa, what you've got to say. Oh, it's a popular choice.
Very lovely.
Yay.
You want to hear a bit more on Do the Hustle. You've got 19 seconds and it starts now.
The hustle is also slang for conning people out of their money. So if you are doing the hustle, you are robbing them blind. Something that in my younger days I did quite skillfully on many an occasion. My favourite way of conning people was...
Ooh, Jan...
Conning.
Yes, I can't, sadly, much as I loved... I mean, I wanted to get deep into the con tricks of Delisa there.
Actually, you may have saved me from the police.
Yes.
So thank you for the buzz.
Jan, that was a correct challenge according to the rules. You get the point, and with 2 seconds remaining, you get your subject back. Do the hustle starting now.
Doing the hustle could be described as working really hard at something.
Definitely done. I think everybody had a crack at that subject, did they not?
Yes.
Scores, I mean, they're not the most important thing, but why not? It keeps us all up to date with where we are. It is a tight field. Delisa narrowly in fourth place, Sheila just slightly ahead, Paul in second, and narrowly ahead of Paul, Jan has taken the lead.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. Well, we're back with you, Paul, for this one. The subject on the card for you is, if I could stop time. That's your subject, Paul. Could you speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation on if I could stop time starting now?
If I was to have a superpower to help me play just a minute better, then the ability to stop time wouldn't be particularly useful. If we think of stopping time as an eternity of frozenness, if you were about to eat an apple, go to sleep, pick a cherry, that particular aspect of your life would stay like that forever. And that would make every single subject on this radio show go on forever. It would seem like some kind of...
Challenge from Sheila.
Was there a repetition of ever?
Ooh, you're asking me to go way back in time. I think...
Well, don't go too back in time, because I certainly said it in 1988.
Yes, I mean, you're right, we have to stick to the subject.
Rewinding time would be more useful here.
It would be, yes. I'm not entirely sure that that was a
no, repetition. I'm not sure enough, so let him have it.
So, I'm going to keep that with Paul. 31 seconds
beginning now.
31 seconds, soon to be 29. Cher had a song called If I Could Turn Back Time, but this is a different aspect of the whole time-space continuum. Being able to stop time, I think, would be absolutely pointless when you come to having your existence properly justified by somebody who looks down at you from heaven and says, your life hasn't been worth living.
Oh, Jan!
I think there's a repetition of life.
There is a repetition of life, yes.
Earlier on, you said along the lines of life would be easier.
Yes, absolutely.
Very well spotted.
Jan,
you've got 4 seconds with this subject. If I could stop time.
If I could stop time, I would feel like Margot Kidder in the Superman film. There's that fabulous moment.
Hey, congratulations. Speaking as the whistle went, which means that you get that extra point, Jan. And sadly, it's the final round.
Oh.
The final round.
Shame.
It is a shame.
Yeah.
Well, it's with you, Sheila, the final round.
Oh.
Sister Act. That's your subject. Sister Act, your time starts now.
A sister act in the variety world is two girls doing numbers, dances together. My sister Billy had many a sister act, with Margaret, Irene, Polly, doing puppets and stilts and things in music halls. I was in a musical called Sister Act in the West End, and the best thing about that was I was in the number one dressing room at the Palladium, which had housed Judy Garland and Danny Kaye, people like that whom I worshipped in the past. The girls were great fun to be with as well, because there were a lot of nuns. Whoopi Goldberg put the show on, so I got to know her. Altogether, it was a lovely engagement. But it was kind of sad. I remember one night it was Valentine's Day, and I suggested that anybody who had nobody to be with should come with me to a club. Everybody turned up, because people in our profession work at night and they don't have many girlfriends. Boring, but I kept going.
That was glorious.
I loved it. It was like being in a chat show.
It's so... I never lose the thrill of it, and I hope I never do, listening to someone do a full minute. And that's lovely. So you were speaking as the whistle went, and you kept the subject Sister Act. You get the bonus point. And that means, because that was the last subject on the cards, that it's time for scores. It's a very, very close-run thing. Delisa, your first show with us. Audience, can you please let him know what an incredible debut that was? In third position, congratulations, champ. You more than distinguished yourself. In second place, we've got, despite that valiant rally at the end, we've got Sheila, and in joint first position, and today's winners, we've got Paul and Jan.
A playoff.
Yes.
And so you both have to speak simultaneously on quantum mechanics starting now. And there, my lovelies, I'm afraid we have to leave you. But first of all, a huge thanks to our delightful players of the game today, to Paul Merton, Sheila Hancock, Delisa Chaponda, and Jan Ravens. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised the show, and of course to our beloved Nicholas Parsons, who chaired Just a Minute for over 50 years. We also thank Caroline Barlow for blowing her whistle. The producer was lovely Hayley Sterling, and it was a BBC Studios production. So this is Sue Perkins saying thanks for listening, and please do join us next time we play Just a Minute.
And we're pretty sure that we've persuaded Sue Perkins to come back again and host the programme at the same time next week. The summer holidays might be over, but there's a Radio 4 island where the sun always shines, and we're setting sail for it again this Sunday morning.